The Midweek Horror Podcast is supported by Horrified, the website that celebrates and champions British horror, covering films, television, books, fiction, and more. You can visit Horrified at horrifiedmagazine.co.uk and find them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Horrified Mag.
This is the Midweek Horror Podcast with Hannah Fox and Alice Reed.
Good evening, Alice, and welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast.
Good evening to you as well, Hannah. How are you?
Well, I thought that was very fancy.
That's an excellent way to kick us off.
Always good to be cordial.
Where did this come from? Have I been rude to you? Is this passive aggressive?
Well, I don't want to say anything, but yeah.
I don't know about you, I'm really excited today because not only are we watching the fabulous sounding Polterheist.
Been looking forward to this one.
Yeah. We also are going to be trying a new section at the start of the podcast where we tell each other about other films that we have seen. Do you think this needs a jingle?
I mean, I always enjoy a jingle, but then up to you.
Okay. I will
see what you can find.
Make a decision when I'm editing it.
Okay.
So, guys at home, you may be about to hear a jingle.
So actually, this was a bit of a last minute special episode in that we thought we had quite a bit of time, but of course old Bojo has called us another lockdown. So
yeah.
Here we are. Can I just say this isn't during lockdown?
Yeah.
This is, what we're looking, 2 days before now?
Yeah.
So we thought we'd cram one more in before we have to have a month off. So,
yeah.
Bit of a shame, but never mind.
So would you like to go first, Tam, with the films that you've seen since we did our last podcast? Because I think you've seen a couple that I'd be very interested in hearing about.
Yeah, so I think the two in particular were the ones that I watched over Halloween weekend, which I also put on my Twitter. So some of you guys might have seen that because they both had a fantastic old-fashioned like movie posters. So I was like, this would be a shame not to put these on Twitter. So yeah, that was cool. And these two, the first one I watched actually, I'll take them individually, was called Hands of the Ripper. And this was a Hammer film production. It just came onto BritBox. So I thought, brilliant, I've got BritBox, let's give it a watch. And I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I'll give you a kind of bit of a rundown without spoilers because I think you would like it. I think you'd find it fun. Basically, it's about, so at the start of the film, we see Jack the Ripper at home with his missus and his
Ripper.
Mrs. Ripper. Well, actually, I say he's at home. He runs into the home because he's being chased by, you know, the kind of mad crowd with their pitchforks and things trying to like hunt him down. And basically ends up killing his wife, and the daughter is kind of witnesses all of this. And we're not in spoiler territory because the film is about the daughter, so it's fine. And anyway, so yeah, Jack the Ripper kills the wife, leaves the daughter there and flees. And then fast forward about 16 years and we are then following the daughter. So she ends up living with, not a psychic, you know, the kind of typical old woman who does...
A spiritualist, a medium.
Yes, a medium, that's it. So we go forward 16 years and she's there with this medium. Basically, I think this medium adopts her, but she's sort of using her as well. So they're all in this room having a seance and the medium is using the girl to pretend to be the ghost. So they're all like, oh gosh, my dead daughter. And it's not, it's just the girl. But anyway, one of the people in the room is a bit wise to this. He's, I think he's a psychologist, something like that. I want to say a psychologist. I'll find out later and tell you what it really was. But he's, he's really interested in what's really going on. And what happens next is that I won't go into too much detail because I think it probably would be getting into a bit of spoiler territory. But she, the young daughter, who's about 17 at this point, she ends up going to live with the psychiatrist, psychologist. Anyway, he's very interested in the mind and the brain. And she goes to live with him. And basically, he is trying to examine her and understand her behaviour because he believes that she might be responsible for some murders.
Oh, that's come out of left field.
Yes, this is quite interesting. And it is really hard, actually, not to spoil it. But I would say give it a watch because it's a proper good Hammer horror from the 70s. It's very over-the-top kind of gore, but not in a kind of like, oh, I can't take this way. You know, it's like knife through the chest, bright red blood everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of women go, ah! it's really good fun. One of the prostitutes in it, actually, because there's a one point where they go down Whitechapel and there's lots of prostitutes, was the lady out of Open All Hours, which I found quite surprising. A young... Nurse Gladys Emanuel? Do you remember her from Open All Hours?
Good knowledge, Anne.
I think her name is Linda Barron. But, you know, when you're looking at someone, I was like, that's got to be her. But, yeah, so young Linda Barron is in it. And, yeah, brilliant film. Really, really enjoyed it. And it was a really nice little introduction to Halloween. But it is hard to talk about it without spoiling it. But it was, for me, just like the old Hammer horror types of film that I want to watch. Because gory fun. You know, lots going on, and yeah, brilliant. Really enjoyed it.
So, one question.
Mm.
Supernatural, yes or no?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
Spooky business.
Spooky business, yeah. So, that was very good fun. Sorry, I've waffled through that a bit.
But, no, this is brilliant.
I suddenly realised I was going to go into spoiler territory a bit, so it's quite tricky. But the other one also...
I will definitely check that out, though, on Britbox.
Yeah, you'd enjoy it. You'd definitely enjoy it, I think. Yeah. And for me, I would say 4 stars.
Wow. Yeah, okay, excellent.
Liked it. The next one I watched was called The Devil Rides Out.
That sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
Just based purely on name.
Well, it was fantastic. Really enjoyed it. Just, again, what you want. Another Hammer. Christopher Lee was the lead, and I just love Christopher Lee anyway. Obviously, you know, he's kind of known for doing things like Dracula, and he was brilliant.
Was he the devil?
No, he wasn't actually. He was the goodie in this one,
really?
Which was really interesting.
Yeah.
So basically with this one, he's some very posh gentleman who he's supposed to be having some reunion with a lot of his other posh gentleman friends at some club. When one of the friends doesn't turn up. So him and his friend Rex, they go and try and find the friend. When they get to the friend's house, he's kind of having some big meeting of some society that he's a member of. But Christopher Lee's a bit suspicious about this. So he's like kind of walking around, listening to people. Basically is like something else is going on here. Something's not right. And he thinks there might be something a bit dark going on. So... anyway, him and his friend Rex basically find out that what they're really doing is having like occult meetings. So basically then what the film does is follows Christopher Lee. Oh God, what is his name? It's a weird name. It's like Count de Urich or something.
Close enough.
Yeah, it wasn't like Joe Bloggs. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It was quite a weird name. And him and Rex basically are trying to rescue this guy, Simon, from the cult. And of course, the cult leader does not like this and is chasing them round. And there's, yeah, lots of shenanigans going on, weird demons appearing.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. So another brilliant. Supernatural.
Another supernatural.
Yeah. Good.
And great characters. There's a brilliant bit where they're all in like this salt circle and there's like a giant tarantula coming up to the circle.
Oh, wow.
And it's like proper 1960s, 1970s special effects, which is just brilliant. You know, really, really good fun. The guy that was in The Good Life, Jerry. Do you remember Jerry?
I think you're a bit more well read than I.
Or I just watch a lot of classic, crappy old TV shows.
Classic sitcoms.
Well, yeah, he's in it anyway, for anyone who does know him. And also, for anyone who's a soap fan, Simon, the young, kind of suave young man. He's been in Emmerdale as some old chap called Rodney. And I was like, oh, that's him. So,
how funny.
Yeah, that was weird.
Was Rodney one of the Dingles?
No, he was just more of a random character. I think his daughter was Bernice. I don't know. I didn't watch it for very... My mum used to watch it. But anyway, love, again, I absolutely love this. It was brilliant. I would probably give that a 4 as well. Solid 4. Actually, one fact I did, sorry, just go off track a bit, but one fact I did discover about The Devil Rides Out, which really did make me laugh. So the guy who plays Rex in it, apparently he was some sort of singer. So when he was acting in the film, when they came to like edit it and stuff, it didn't really work for them because they said he sort of was a bit sing-song in how he spoke and he sort of sang his lines a bit. So I found this out today. His voice is dubbed by someone else, which is really weird. They just wouldn't do that today, would they?
No, so is it obvious?
No, not at all. So I kind of really want to watch it again now, just like a bit of it, to see if it is obvious when you know. But I would never have guessed. I think it's called Leon Green, the guy who plays Rex. But that's bizarre.
I would love to hear his original soundtrack.
Me too.
Oh my God, yeah, it's really a scared. Tarantula.
It's coming for me. I'm like, also, I wonder when they realise this. Were they bit thing song. Or maybe it was one of those things where they keep going, no, just say the line, say the line. And it's like, I am saying the line. And just the sort of thing now, they just wouldn't do it, would they? They just wouldn't.
No.
They probably thought he was, like, he. I don't know whether he was, because he's a good-looking guy, you know.
Yeah,
they
thought
he was a bit of, like, a heartthrob, and they liked how he looked, but not his voice. Very weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One of my favourite bits, actually, was when they're, like, they're driving around in the car, and obviously it's not the actual scene behind them. You know, when they put like a cut, they're obviously in front of a green screen or something. That I love films of that time where it's not perfect. And nowadays you look at the special effects and you think, we would never think they were realistic, but it's fun. You know, that's what makes the film. What I also found quite funny in this is every time they want to like capture someone or like put someone to sleep, basically this guy just punches everyone and it's a proper like across the face.
Yeah,
and they instantly are knocked out cold for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just like their only way of like dealing with anyone, just punch them across the face.
I think
so I enjoyed that.
talking about the car in front of the green screen,
mm.
I think one thing that probably helps us with old films and low budget films is the fact that because we like the theatre, we're quite used to suspending disbelief.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go to the theatre, they won't be in front of a green screen, they'd be in front of a painting.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, we find those sort of things charming.
Just checking, I've got the name of that film right. I'd just be like, everyone, go and watch the wrong film. Yeah, The Devil Rides Out, that's what I said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I have noted here that it was directed by Terence Fisher. So there you go.
A fact. A rare fact from the Midweek Horror Podcast.
Enjoy it while you can, guys.
they're both on BritBox.
There's loads coming on, actually, of the Hammer film sort of genre. Yeah, so
brilliant.
Keen to watch some more. Be good to watch one together, actually, as well. Sorry, I was a bit impatient.
No, couldn't wait.
I just needed something good for Halloween.
Well,
so.
Actually, the film I watched was one that I'd mentally lined up for us to do as a podcast.
Pray tell.
Well, like you, I got impatient and watched it.
Mm.
So a film I've wanted to see for ages is a film by Remy Weeks called His House. And this has got a huge amount of good buzz. So I keep half an eye on British horror all the time because I like British horror films.
Mm.
But this year seems to have been a really good year for AAA British films because we've had two that have picked up a lot of acclaim. St. Maud, which I haven't been able to see yet, was meant to be absolutely brilliant. And the other one that's got a lot of buzz is His House. And that was picked up by Netflix. And it went live on Netflix on the 30th of October. And I'd been waiting for it so long, I couldn't wait anymore. So I watched it that very night.
Wow.
Do you know much about it?
No, I've heard of it. I've seen it advertised, but no, not much at all.
It's about a couple of refugees. I'm pretty sure they're from South Sudan, who come to the UK and are settled as asylum seekers in a house. I will not give, to be honest, there isn't too much to give away about the plot. It's a haunted house. You know, there's there's supernatural hijinks going on in the house. It's that kind of movie, but it has some really, really interesting visuals and frights, and it all gets a bit dream sequence-y towards the end.
Mm.
So it is a very, very accomplished film about a haunting in a house. And I had a look at Rotten Tomatoes after I watched it, and it's got 100% based on 50 reviews already.
Wow.
Very highly regarded. And I enjoyed it a lot. The visuals, the atmosphere, the performances, the plot, all done very, very well.
Mm.
And something that they do that's really interesting is use African folklore. I don't want to say too much again because it's getting into spoiling the story, but there's a concept of retribution from a supernatural entity that's kind of a bit vengeful.
Yeah.
So that all starts to come out of the woodwork. The two main characters both do superb performances. Especially, I was especially interested in the male lead's performance, where he... It's a combination of somebody who's losing it a bit, but trying to keep his shit together and almost try to put a brave face on it. He's like, you know, this is my house. This is our new life.
Mm.
Everything's going to be fine. you know, let's sit at the table and eat our dinner.
Mm.
And that's done very well. That's done very well. Some really good scares as well. There's one, a jump scare, right very near the beginning, surprisingly near the beginning. I thought there was going to be a bit of more of a slow burn build up that, I didn't quite crap my pants, but I wasn't far off. It really made me jump, you know. It was like, it felt like a little bit of a low blow that early on.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like it was building to a scare. When it happened, I was like, crap, dropping my Galaxy Minstrels.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
No,
you don't want to
no.
fluff on the minstrels, do you?
No. No. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, so really good, really good. I think I would give this probably 4.5 stars.
Okay, yeah.
I think.
Cool, I definitely want to give that a watch. Yeah. Where did you watch it? Netflix, did you say?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
I've seen it advertised, but I couldn't work out where. Netflix, great.
Yeah, super. I'd be up for watching it again, to be honest. So maybe we do, well, any of the three films we've discussed, we could do as a full episode.
True. Or even during lockdown, just watch them and tell each other what we thought about them.
Yeah, on Zoom or something.
Yeah.
So we do have to work out how to record Zoom calls.
Yeah, we're quite old.
And also how to do Zoom calls. I've heard of Zoom. We'll work something out.
We'll get there. Yeah, don't worry. We'll be fine.
I've got a horrible feeling this might be longer than a month, but we'll see.
It might be, but I think we'll manage. I mean, the wonders of technology now. I'm sure we can sort something out.
Right. Well, now that's out of the way, we've brought each other up to speed. We're ready to watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Of Poltergeist.
Woo woo.
Well, I thought that looked brilliant.
I thought that looked absolutely brilliant and hilarious.
The plot, as far as I understand it, that was actually a really good trailer.
Yeah.
Because the film's got a nice novel concept and the trailer just sets it out very clearly.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of the trailers we watch, especially for horror films, you're bombarded with this troubling imagery and you're like, well, that looked quite scary, but I don't have a clue what it's about.
Yeah, God knows what's going on.
This is a film about a couple of crooks who drown someone.
Yeah. Or they kill him in some way and he ends up in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we see them speaking to another gangster who...
Who has the best hair I've ever seen.
It's amazing hair, yeah. He looks like a very funny character.
He does.
And when we first see him, he's playing cricket in a very menacing way.
Mm.
And basically, it turns out the guy they've killed owed him some money. And they're saying to him, we don't know where your money is. And he makes it clear that if he doesn't get his money back, they're going to pay. We then cut to a news report about a psychic, a medium, who's helping the police with some inquiries regarding a murder. And naturally, the criminals decide that the best thing they can do at this juncture is barge into the medium's house with balaclavas on and demand that she contacts the dead gangster.
Yeah, Frank.
Frank, that's it.
And I'm guessing they must have worked out she was quite a successful medium because she's found two dead bodies on the moor, hasn't she? That's the like police footage is all about.
So she's got form.
She's got form, yeah. So yeah, these two guys go round there and basically get her to invoke.
Summon, channel, whatever. Frank.
Who sounds, again, brilliant as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's coming through.
Yeah.
And then after that, it did do the typical thing where there's a car chase.
Yeah,
there's loads
yeah.
of stuff going on. So I think basically what we do know is that Frank comes through the medium and then they're like, right, tell us where the money is. And he's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm already dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And from there, we're like, not really sure what's going to happen next.
The performance that the medium puts in looks really good because obviously Frank's speaking through her. So as well as playing her own character, she has to play this gangster who's angry about the fact that he's been killed.
Yeah.
And she actually looks like she does a really good job of that. She looks
brilliant, yeah.
In character as Frank.
An older northern man who's quite menacing, and she looks like quite a timid little woman. So,
yeah, brilliant. Looks really good.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about
this. Me too. It looks like a lot of fun as well. I think kind of typical horror stuff, but also hopefully some laughs as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to predict a 4.5 for this. 4.5 stars.
I'm going to predict a 4.
Okay.
Yeah. A solid 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, should we check out Poltergeist then?
Let's do it. So that was Poltergeist.
What did you think, Anne?
Well, I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
I think it was maybe... So I really enjoyed it. It was really good fun. Really loved it. The plot I thought was very good. Very different, you know, pretty unique. Some of the... How they actually put the film together and some of the acting possibly let it down a little bit.
Oh, really?
I thought Tariq was... awful.
Really?
Horrendous. When you compared him to Joe Mousley.
I think we can both agree that Joe Mousley, who played
Alice Moon, yeah,
the medium, she did a superb job because as well as playing this sort of shy, retiring psychic, she spent much of the film as host to the spirit of Frank, who was a gangster.
An older male gangster, I thought it was incredible how she portrayed him.
Yeah, it was the best thing in the film. And yeah. I think the biggest laughs were just when she came out with some choice gangster turn of phrase.
Yeah.
Because she did it so well.
So natural, wasn't she? Yeah, really natural with it. I actually just did believe she was possessed.
Yeah. So I think we can both agree she was man of the match.
Yeah,
I really liked Tariq's performance.
Oh, I thought it was terrible. Shocking. Like amateur, so amateur.
What was the actor called?
Sid Akbar Ali. Sorry, Sid. I thought you were horrendous.
I thought he was brilliant.
I thought compared to the others, it just really let it down. I thought, did he either write it or was he a friend of someone? Because it was like that thing where you cast your mate because they're like...
I hope he's a friend of someone.
No, you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
If you cast me...
One of the creatives.
If you were Spielberg and you cast me in Jurassic Park 10 or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I just felt like he wasn't a natural actor. I didn't find him believable.
I found him the most believable.
Did you? Oh,
yeah, I thought it was a very natural and realistic performance in a film where... A lot of the other characters were, not in a bad way, but over the top.
So the uncle.
Yeah.
Uday.
Yeah, yeah.
he was very over the top.
Yeah.
He was almost a caricature, I think. A bit like,
Yes, he was, but I think he did it well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But I think he was meant to be like that. So a bit like, you know, in, oh, odd reference, but, it's not going to come to me now, is it? Jesus, my brain. When they're in another comedy, American comedy, they go to Vegas and then they all like take roofies and they can't remember anything the next day. The Hangover.
Hangover. I'm just about to get it.
So in The Hangover, you know, you've got the little Chinese guy.
I've never seen it.
Okay, well, he's like,
I only watch horrors, Han.
Fair enough.
Watch horrors.
Well, he's like so over the top and like a massive like caricature. And I think this guy is meant to be the same thing. So I know what you mean. Some of the characters were over the top, but even with that, didn't do it for me. But he did for you, so that's fine.
I think he had some great facial acting as well. Just like a look of gangsterness.
Did you think?
Yeah. At times, yeah. Oh, how
wasn't
weird.
Wasn't a fan.
That was my favourite, apart from Alice Moon.
I mean, Alice Moon did steal the
played
show.
Played by Joe Mousley.
Indeed, Joe Mousley. Right.
We've done our research on this one. We want to show off that we know some names.
We've looked at Wikipedia at least once.
I don't think that film's on Wikipedia.
Well, I say Wikipedia.
IMDb.
It might be, actually. I don't know. I mean, I'm Don't speak too soon.
And that's no disrespect to Poltergeist. A lot of films that I've seen and really enjoyed haven't quite met the bar for inclusion in Wikipedia.
I think some of it, though, is a budget thing. I mean, that obviously wasn't big budget, but I thought it was a really good plot. I thought it was different. I've not seen anything like that. And obviously, we're, you know, in no spoiler section at the moment, but the end was really good as well. Really liked how they wrapped it up. Brilliant. Really nicely done little film.
Should we talk about not likes? Do you have any not likes?
Apart from Tarek.
I love Tarek. Honestly, after The Psychic, he was my favourite performance. One thing I didn't like was that not all the humour worked for me.
Agreed.
The sort of laddish sexual humour. In fact, there was one joke, which we can talk about in the spoiler section, which in terms of the structure of the joke...
Mm.
Was quite a well put together joke with a funny reveal.
Mm.
But you and me just greeted it in stony silence. Do you know the joke I mean?
I don't know. Maybe.
There was a reveal partway through a conversation. It was a bit...
That was so cringe.
I think there was a lot of that with Uday's sort of humour about all the various... babes he had hanging around.
Yeah, and it was a bit cringe and a bit, again, it'd been, for me, some of what I didn't like about that film is they copied other things that have been done before. And like with Lucy, I saw that coming a mile off. It was just an
You did. But I tell you what, if we're going to talk about Lucy, let's get into the spoiler
section. It's our favourite anyway.
Yeah, it is. Let's give it some stars before we go to the jingle.
Okay. Really enjoyed it. Lovely plot, lovely little film. However, I think I'm going to go more towards a 3, just because I think a bit lacking in quality of how they actually made the film. And like you said, some of the humour, bit of the acting and some of the dialogue just didn't quite do it for me.
Some of the humour did do it for us because we were laughing at quite a lot.
Yeah, but some of it didn't on the flip side.
There was definitely a bit of hit and miss there. So before we saw the film based on the trailer, I was hoping optimistically for a 4.5 stars. Mm. I can't in good conscience give it 4.5 stars when I think that I gave Mandy 1.5 stars.
You know, Mandy.
I know these stars are a bit arbitrary.
I know, we kind of go up and down.
I know, it depends what mood I'm in, really.
It totally depends what mood I'm in.
I give Mandy 1.5 stars, Heckle 2. what's going on with these stars?
God knows.
I think I give it 3.5. I enjoyed watching it with you. We laughed quite a few times. I wanted to see where the story was going to go. Not all the humour was to my taste, but a lot of it was. And personally, I thought none of the performances were bad. And I thought certainly Joe Mousley was superb.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're a little bit in love with her now, aren't we? We just can't. I mean, surely she's destined for greater things.
I wonder what else she's done.
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to have a look on
IMDb?
Or Wikipedia. Who knows what lofty height she's made it to? Oh, she's got Joe Mousley, right? I mean, she's on Twitter, So,
wow, she's made it.
It doesn't look like she's on Wikipedia, unfortunately. IMDb, that's going to be the best.
So if you just click on a name.
Yeah, I'm on it. She was in Emmerdale Farm, apparently, on Coronation Street.
Oh, wow.
She worked at Wilco for over 20 years. That's what else I'm, well, the fact I'm getting here. Also, I don't think that's her.
Oh, what do you mean that's not her?
No, the rest of it was her. Not the person that worked at Wilco for 20 years. Sorry.
Who worked at Wilco for 20 years?
It's just someone else called Jo Mousley. Okay, yeah.
Why is she on IMDb? You're not meant to put every Jo Mousley in IMDb, just the ones that are in films.
No, okay. She popped up underneath. And I thought, oh, there she is again. But no, it's not her. Not her at all. Right.
Which means she popped up underneath. Surely there isn't an advert for Jo Mousley who works at Wilco.
I'll show you what I did. Okay, so there's Jo Mousley again, and there's some facts. And I'd been in there, and then I clicked off, and then I go.
You're on Google. That's Google.
But in my defence, I'd clicked in to IMDb and then I came out again and there she was.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so this is the calibre of professionalism you're dealing with here. But yeah, so apart from the Wilco stuff,
so she,
Emmerdale and Corrie.
Yeah, yeah.
In minor roles, unfortunately.
I would certainly cast her in something if I was making a film.
Oh, so would I.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, well, let's have the jingle. Let's have the jingle, and then we'll do some spoilers. So shall we explain what the Polterheist was?
Yeah. So, I mean, we did it a little bit anyway, didn't we, when we watched the trailer, because it kind of was pretty accurate, actually.
It was, but as in the actual heist itself.
Oh, you mean the diamonds and all that?
Diamonds and the money, the sort of crime caper. So my understanding of this was, after they go to Alice Moon, played by Jo Mousley.
Jo Mousley.
And
Wilco Employee of the Year.
Frank, speaking through Alice, reveals that the £15 the 15 grand that he absconded with, he spent on a cruise, which he was meant to be going on with his wife, Tracy, because she has stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
So the money is gone. There's no getting it back. But then he proposes this plan where they can go to the airport and intercept a suitcase with £100,000 in it that a rival gang, the Polish gang, is trying to get back to Poland.
Mm.
That is probably the Polterheist of the title.
Not because they're Polish, though, just to clarify.
No, because it's a heist. As in that is the heist that the title refers to.
Yeah.
So a ghost has basically Ocean's 11'd them.
Yes.
Into intercepting and making off with this suitcase that's got all the money in. The ill-gotten gains of the Polish gang. It goes a bit wrong, though. Because
it does. So it goes a bit wrong because Tarek and, Frank... /Alice and Boxy go and try and intercept it at this multi-story car park, and they're basically looking out for a white Range Rover. However, when they get there, there's two white Range Rovers drive up, and it's a bit of a joke because they say all the criminals in Bradford drive a white Range Rover, and then they clearly do. So they both go out, Boxy and Tarek both go to separate Range Rovers to, you know, because they're not sure which one it is, and they kind of... They mess it up because they basically get seen and then end up in a gunfight. And then they do end up with one of the cases, but it's just got a stuffed toy in it.
Yeah.
And the gang, the Polish gang, run off with all the money. So they cock it up, basically, because they're not very stealthy and they get themselves seen.
So unbeknownst to our heroes, at the same time as this money drop is being made,
mm-hmm.
Uday, Tarek's psychopathic uncle, is trying to send some diamonds to Pakistan.
Yeah, to get out of a wedding.
Yeah, yeah. So there's actually two drops going on at the same time.
Yeah.
We discover at the end that the stuffed toy has got the diamonds in it.
Of course.
But at the time, Boxy and Tarek don't know that. They think they've just picked up a worthless suitcase.
Basically then, I think that it all goes a bit mad. And Frank, in an effort to save his beloved Lucy, so basically tells them he's got some money stashed away that they can have. So they follow Frank to a graveyard, try and get to dig up this money. And basically Frank kind of engineers it so, well, I don't, he basically wants to kill Tarek, I think. But basically Tarek and Boxy end up getting killed because Tarek kills Boxy and then Frank shoots Tarek.
Yeah.
There was never any money in the graveyard anyway, so that's kind of the end of them. But then Frank does end up going and taking Alice, while he's in her body, to a massive bag of money somewhere else. And basically then Alice ends up with the money and Lucy, who she discards on the side of the road.
Yeah, Frank makes her promise to look after Lucy. Bit of a deal,
yeah. She
doesn't. Yeah, yeah. She's got a big bag of money now.
Yeah, and the diamonds.
Although that is a bit of a plot hole. I don't know
how she worked it out. Although, would you just think...
She works out the diamonds are in the stuffed toy.
Yeah, and I wonder whether Frank knew that and she knew it through Frank. Because that would be a way of smuggling stuff, wouldn't it? I mean, I thought there was the diamonds were in the stuffed toy. And I'm not a gangster.
Yeah, you knew everything in advance in this film. So just to quickly explain... explain Lucy...
Yes.
So Tarek is, he's basically kidnapped Lucy, who is talked about as if she's Frank's daughter, although you never see her on screen.
No.
And he's using this fact to put pressure on Frank, because Frank has said to him, how are you going to get me to cooperate? I'm already dead. There's nothing you can do to me. And Tarek shows him a picture of Lucy and uses that to put pressure on Frank to cooperate. Lucy is finally... revealed on screen at the end of the movie, and she's not his daughter, she's his pet dog. Now, the minute Lucy was referred to in the very early scenes of the film, you said, I bet she's going to be a dog or something. I forget exactly how you put it, but you totally called that in advance.
I think this is one of my little issue with this film. It's the sort of thing, I knew it, because it's the sort of thing I've seen in films before. It's like... that kind of, we're not going to show her because she's not what you think she is. And it was just a little bit obvious. So when they walked in, initially when Boxy and Tarek walk into Tracy's house. And
that's Frank's wife.
Frank's wife, yeah. They're talking to Tracy about Frank. And Tracy says, oh, Lucy's distraught. She's taken to her bed. She can't sleep. She's off her food. It was a bit weird, like, why would a young girl do that if her dad had gone away for a few days? And I just thought, it's going to be a dog. And then as it went on, she was like saying, oh, I've even taken her to get her nails done. I don't know, it just said to me, a young girl just wouldn't have behaved like that. And then he says, actually, Frank says at one point, I love that bitch. And I was like, he'd never talk about his daughter like that.
It was just a bit
obvious, I thought. And I've just seen it done... a few times before.
Yeah, well, you totally called it. And to be honest, after you'd said that, it became increasingly obvious Lucy was a dog.
I mean, I don't know.
But I don't know if it would have occurred to me.
Oh, you don't think?
If you hadn't said it. And that might have been a really effective reveal, like a really nice, funny payoff at the end of the movie.
Oh, I ruined it for you. Sorry, mate.
No, you were.
It was weird because I just thought it was so, so obvious. A bit like when you said about the joke. Do you want to explain the joke that you said? Oh, that was just a bit...
Yeah, yeah. So this is an example of the laddish humour that I didn't like so much. So Uday sat behind his desk, surrounded by his babes. And he's got his eyes closed like he's having a nap. And somebody comes to visit him and he says, come in. And the police come in and start talking to him. And saying, oh, Frank's been found dead. I don't suppose you'd know anything about that, would you, Uday? And he's saying, no, no, not at all, not at all. And then he just sort of looks extremely, what's the word? Gratified.
Yeah.
And then he pushes his chair back and goes, all right, stand up. And one of his babes stands up. The implication being.
Yeah. It was just a bit lazy. I think there were some great ideas there. Like I said, I love the plot. There were some really funny moments. And I just think it was that side of it was a bit lazy.
Yeah. I basically think a whole category of jokes in it that you can write off as laddish humour. Some of the jokes fell in that category.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
No. And I'm not like, come on, you know, I'm not being a prude about it. It was just a bit like, great, you know.
Yeah.
Like it offends me. I just find it a bit rubbish.
Like, I can imagine when they were doing it, they thought, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the function of a joke, the structure of a joke, you know, it's got an unexpected reveal. It's got, I don't know about I don't know anything about the structure of a joke.
It's got the big reveal.
Yeah.
Babes. Yeah. The big reveal.
It's got a big reveal. It's got babes. Yeah, it's got everything. Everything you need in a joke. Actually, forget the big reveal.
It's got babes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still, and I know it probably sound like I'm not going mad about it, but I still really enjoyed it. It was a really fun film to watch with a friend, you know.
Give it my stars rating?
You did. You said 3.5?
Yeah, that sounds like me. That sounds like me.
Yeah. Which I think is actually fair.
What were the bits we laughed at the most?
For me, it was generally Alice as Frank.
Mm.
Because just the cat, that this kind of little, tiny little woman character being this big gangster and doing it so well was just hilarious. Like you said, the things that she came out with.
Yeah. And actually my favourite of those, even though on paper it's not the funniest, was when Frank, speaking through Alice, reveals that he'd spent the money he absconded with 15 grand on a cruise.
Oh, yeah.
And Tarek says to him, 15 grand, where were you going? And Frank goes, where weren't we going? And I don't know why, but just the delivery of that line really made me chuckle.
Yeah. That whole side of it was brilliant. I could have watched that, you know, the character of Frank through Alice all day.
Yeah. The mini knob stuff really made me laugh. You know, we were chuckling at a lot of it.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it.
The strip club scene.
The strip club was bizarre. But I kind of like got into that because it was like these funny sort of like, they're gangsters, but they're also these kind of seedy old guys who are like living the dream. And their dream is some old men's social club playing bowls where you've also got some old strippers. And
yeah,
I found that quite funny. And like, that was their thing.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of went with that gang. So yeah, I kind of thought that was all right. But yeah, you gotta laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, one thing I found quite interesting, if we're going to go a little bit deeper, is there was quite a lot of religion or religious sort of imagery. There was, I think we heard the call to prayer at one point.
Did we?
Yeah, they were like parked in, it must have been, I don't know if they were parked in like a mosque car park or something, but you could hear it. And then in another bit, the Polish guy had like a tattoo of Christ on the cross on the back of his head.
Really?
Yeah, like the crucified Christ.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I just think there were little bits that I thought, oh, that's quite interesting. Are they trying to say, like, even with the Jewish guys, I was like, are they trying to kind of bring in the different kind of religious sides here? But I don't know if it really ever went anywhere for me, but the graves in the cemetery, there was like little odd things.
It was quite interesting thematically because Boxy actually asked Alice, the medium, he said, is there a hell?
Yeah.
And she said, it's not like in the Bible.
No, that's true.
The dead are around us all the time. So it's almost like in the world of this film, there isn't an afterlife.
Mm.
And Frank, well, there is an afterlife, but it's not a different place.
No.
Like Frank says, it's not bad being dead. You know, I can just go around looking at what I want. He's not gone anyway. He's just invisible.
Yeah.
So within the universe of Poltergeist, if that isn't too grand a thing to say about Poltergeist, you know, no religion would be true because it seems there isn't anything after death except just still being there and no one can see you.
Yeah, so maybe there was something in that. I feel like I would have to watch it again with that in my mind to see if there was more, because I only really thought about it when I'd seen, when we were quite far into the film and I noticed the tattoo on his head and I thought, oh yeah, that was interesting with the, you know, the mosque and the Jewish guys and whether they're trying to bring in all, you know, different types of religion for some, for whatever reason. But yeah, didn't get much further than that.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a point there. Not quite sure what it is, but yeah, I'd be interested if there, you know, if anyone knew more about that, whether that is a thing or whether I'm just looking into something that's not really there.
So basically, if I'd have to sum up,
yeah,
I'd say this is a heist movie with a twist. It's quite lightweight, but quite nice, small, well-formed, put together.
Yeah.
Small film, not huge ambition. You know, it doesn't try and do anything too big for its budget.
Yeah, agreed.
I think that for me is Poltergeist.
I think so.
3.5 stars.
Yeah, I think worth a watch. You'd have a good laugh watching it with a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't have wasted you wouldn't have wasted your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Han, are you ready for your quiz?
I'm a bit scared because I don't know if I'll know any of it.
So this is a brand new section.
Second
brand new section we're piloting on this episode of the podcast. I have prepared for Hannah
quiz.
Oh, hang on.
I feel like I'm a mastermind for...
Trust me, it's not mastermind.
The blonde is ridiculous.
Right.
Oh, God. And I know I'll
forget.
This
is a new section.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we're going to do it every podcast.
Okay.
But we're certainly going to do it some podcasts.
We're certainly doing it now.
Yeah. And it's called... Hannah Does a Quiz.
Oh, God.
Tonight we've watched Poltergeist.
Yeah.
And the thing that attracted us to Poltergeist was the punning title.
Oh.
So I am going to give you...
Yeah.
...some punningly titled horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to work out which are real films and which I've just made up.
Oh, right. I like it. Yeah, let's do it.
And for each one,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to read you the IMDb blurb, like a little synopsis. And for the ones that are real, I will give you an opportunity to win a bonus point by guessing to within one what IMDb score it's got.
Okay.
But obviously you can't do that for the ones I've made up.
Well... be more difficult.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just whatever you say, I'll say wrong.
Sorry, no, nil point.
So are you ready for round number one?
I'm ready.
This is called the reptile round. I'm going to give you four films,
okay,
all of which have a reptilian theme. Ooh, should I do the title first and then the blurb, or the blurb and then the title?
Blurb then the title. Yeah.
Okay, here's the blurb. Declan has it all. A working Neo Geo, an online girlfriend, and a sweet, sweet job at the Jacksonville Bowlerama. But things take a turn for the worse when a man-eating gator lays her eggs under Lane 5.
Oh.
Title of the film, Alligator. A-L-L-E-Y hyphen gator.
Amazing.
Is it a real film or is it a fake one?
I mean, I want to watch it. It's great. I'm going to go... It's real.
No, it's fake.
Ah!
Sorry, Hannah, I made that up.
Oh.
I made that up.
Oh, you really threw me there, going with Jacksonville. Oh.
That was a really good blur.
It really was.
I feel like I should be pitching that film.
You should.
That's a great idea for a film.
IMDb, if you're listening.
They don't make films, Sam.
What? You know, I think they do everything.
Oh, we don't have to have some fun.
Right, hit me.
Okay. Film number two in the reptile round. The Velocipasta. Oh, shit, I've done it the wrong way around. Right, blurb first. All right, we have to stop laughing, and you have to remember to laugh again.
Okay. Right, got it.
I like this one. I think you'll like it too. After losing his parents, a priest travels to China, where he inherits a mysterious ability that allows him to turn into a dinosaur. At first horrified by this new power, a hawker convinces him to use it to fight crime, full stop, and ninjas, full stop. And the name of the film is The Velocipastor. VelociPastor.
Got you. I thought you were going to say he went to Rome, like to the Vatican. No. It was like some kind of Italian food dinosaur thing. I'm going to go, that's totally fake.
It's real. It's a real film.
Okay, we got to watch that.
Don't worry, Anne, you can still claw back a point.
Wow, oh, God.
Can you guess to within one what score it's got out of 10 on IMDb?
3.2.
No, it's got 5.1.
Wow.
Based on 3,159 ratings.
Jeez.
That's The Velocipasta.
I'm going to look that one up later. Brilliant.
Okay.
Wow. Love to know how you found that.
Well, I just thought, I wonder if there's a film called Velocipasta. I'll put it in.
And you would be right.
Yeah. Okay, film number three. When ancient flying reptiles attack Los Angeles, it's up to two working class friends, the unlikeliest of heroes, to save the day. And that film is called Pterodactyl, but it's spelled T-E-R-R-O-R, Dactyl.
I am going to go with false, made up.
What's your logic?
I'm just thinking it's not that mental. And I think you might have thrown in one that wasn't so bizarre, because it might seem more real.
No, it's real.
Oh, God, I'm rubbish at this.
But, so weirdly, it was released in a lot of territories as Jurassic Wars, which is a shit name.
Mm.
Pterodactyl.
Not pun at all. Yeah.
So to try and claw back a bonus point.
It's anything at this point.
Yeah. Can you guess to within 1 out of 10?
Yeah.
What score it got on IMDb?
6.5.
4.1.
Oh, God.
Oh, sorry, Anne. Literally. You're in a shocker.
Shocking.
Okay. Last one for the reptile round.
This cannot be my specialist subject on Mastermind when I finally go
No. Okay, a televised baking competition descends into chaos when the marquee is invaded by a hungry pair of king cobras. The name of the film is The Great British Snake Off.
Okay, that's totally made up, but it really should be true.
Yeah, you got one right.
Yes! That is brilliant.
I'm going to type that down so we know you've got 1 point. Correct?
Oh,
one
yes.
point.
The Great British Snake Off. I love that.
There's another two rounds. It's the same format for every round.
Okay. Right.
The next round is called the Zombie Round.
Okay.
So these are punning horror films that have a zombie flavour. Film number one. A medical student sets out to recreate his decapitated fiancé by building her a new body made of Manhattan street prostitutes.
Gosh.
Frankenhooker.
I'm going to go with true, a real film.
It is true.
Yay!
And can you guess, for your third point of the quiz, what did it get out of 10 on IMDb?
3.5.
No, unbelievably, it got 6.2.
Wow.
Based on 8,747 ratings.
Frankenhooker, who'd have thought?
Yep. Let me record 1 point for you there. My special quiz computer. Okay. Film number two in the zombie round. A cannibal opens up a seafood restaurant and kills and cooks people to serve to his customers.
Mm.
The name of the film is Gourmet, G-O-R-E-M-E-T, Zombie Chef from Hell.
Gourmet Zombie Chef from Hell. I mean, it sounds made up.
But does it sound made up by me?
No.
I wouldn't have put the zombie chef from
Holden. Yeah, I think it's true. I would have just I think it's real.
I don't know why I'm helping you, actually. That is a real one.
Because you would have, you know,
that is a real
blowing
one.
Some smoke up your arse here, you would have made a better a better pun there.
Can you guess what it got on IMDb?
Oh, 4?
No, 2.5. Okay, the third one in the zombie round. When medical trials are pushed to their limits, the most extreme tests end up on St. Leonard's Island in the North Atlantic, a repurposed prison for some of the world's most violent criminals. But when one experiment goes wrong, the entire island becomes a terrifying, disease-riddled maze for desperate survivors. The name of the film is Patience of a Saint, but patience is spelt like a medical patient.
Patient. I am going to go with made up.
No, it's real.
Oh, I thought that you'd made that up and you'd really thought about it. I was like, that's really, you've done a really nice description there.
It was actually released in the US as Inmate Zero, which in my opinion is much better, albeit more generic title.
Mm.
So for the bonus point, what do you reckon it got out of 10?
7.2.
No, 5.6. Oh, that bonus point is really hard, actually.
Yeah, I'm just not getting anywhere near it, am I?
Yeah, I don't know why I thought you would.
I know.
I mean, you've not seen these films.
Also,
why would you know how good they are?
Also, you have met me, right?
we'll not include that in the next instalment of Hannah Does a Quiz. I was just trying to drag it out. Might even edit it out.
I mean, remember when you introduced me to the Tomatometer? I mean, that was quite some learning.
Okay, this is another quite long blurb.
Okay.
After a girl's night out, endearingly awkward Deb wakes up in the apartment of the most attractive guy in Portland, Maine.
Ooh.
If I've made that up, that's a nice bit of colour there.
Very nice.
She's thrilled, but she can't remember much of what got her there. Pretty boy Ryan only knows it was a mistake and ushers her out of the door into a full-scale zombie apocalypse. Now a walk of shame becomes a fight for survival as the mismatched pair discovers that the only thing scarier than trusting someone with your life is trusting them with your heart.
Ooh.
And the name of the film is Night of the Living Deb.
I'm going to go with real.
That is real.
Yes.
Yeah, another point for Ham.
Night of the Living Deb. Brilliant. You know we love Debs in this podcast.
Yeah, that's why I included it, yeah. And what do you reckon it got out of 10?
6.
Yes! It got 5.5, which is within 1.
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
God, at last.
We're into the last round now.
I got one bonus point.
This is the big money round.
For the million.
Yeah, yeah. This round is simply called the Geist round.
Oh.
So we've watched Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
What other poltergeist-themed puns are there in the world of cinema?
Well, we'll find out, I think.
Okay. A troubled priest becomes convinced that the church altar is haunted by a restless spirit. The name of the film is Altergeist.
See what you did there.
Or what they did.
Or what they did. I'm going to go with... You made that one up.
I did make it up.
I liked it though.
Okay. Emma, a college student with a crippling fear of clowns, must come face to face with her worst fear when an evil spirit in the body of a clown is summoned, terrorising the town she calls home. It's quite a clever pun, actually. Can you guess what it's called?
Do it again. Do the synopsis again, because I think I was thinking properly.
Emma, a college student with a crippling fear of clowns, must come face to face with her worst fear when an evil spirit in the body of a clown is summoned, terrorising the town she calls home.
No. Something to do with clowns.
Yeah.
But clown to geist isn't
the thing. I can give you a bonus point. The film name I've got on the card is Clown to Geist.
Oh, I mean, come on, guys. I'm going to go with That's a real film.
It is a real film.
Because I think, again, you would have done a better pun.
And what do you think Clowntergeist got out of 10?
4.5.
Oh, 2.9.
Oh.
But well done for spotting it as a real film. All right. It's 1975, and club baron Donnie Brown is about to open his latest dance hall. Little does he know that the new disco was built on the site of an old Indian burial ground.
Aren't they always?
And the name of the film is Travolta Gone.
I love that so much, but I totally think it's one of yours.
Yeah, I made that up. You can have a point.
But that is amazing.
Oh. Well done.
Can you make that? I really want to watch that.
Oh. And this is the last one I've got for you.
Okay.
Zombified chickens attempt to kill the fast food workers that cook them in a restaurant built on an ancient burial ground. The name of the film is Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead.
Wow. I mean, I think that's real.
Yeah, it is real. It is real. And can you guess what it got out of 10?
3.
No, 6.1.
Oh.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Hannah Does
a Quiz. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you very much. Great round. I enjoyed making up the Made Uppy ones.
Well, you did brilliantly.
My favourite was Travolta Geist.
Travolta Geist was fantastic. So what was my score in the end? Not that it matters, but...
1, 2, 3, 4. You did very well in the Geist round. You correctly identified them all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, you got 9 points, but that's of limited value.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I don't know what it's out of.
Fun was had by all. I don't know what it's out of. That's the main thing.
You got 9 out of something.
9 out of something.
9 out of something. There we go.
Brilliant.
I think we should do Hannah Does a Quiz every
podcast. Well, I'm up for it. If there's more like that, then absolutely.
Right, well, I had a lovely night as always, Han.
So did I.
It's a shame that this is the last time we're going to do this in person for a month at least.
Yeah, but I think we can work on doing some stuff separately and maybe mashing it together, or could even try a Zoom podcast.
I think that's the way forward. A Zodcast. I'll have a look into it and work out how to record a live voice call.
Yeah, good plan. So fear not, listeners. We will return.
Yeah, super.
Stay safe, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Tune in next time for more
Midweek Horror.
Don't get scared now.